Workers Radio.com.
You're listening to American Workers Radio, a national network promoting American-made products with your host, Michael Blihash.
Well, welcome once again to another edition of American Workers Radio here on 860 AM. And it's a beautiful day in Philadelphia, and I'm asking all of you to go to your telephone, invite family members and friends to tune in here on 860. If you live out of the area, I encourage you to go to your internet site and, of course, log on and let family members and friends know that they can tune in to American Workers Radio simply by going to AmericanWorkersRadio.com and click on the Listen Live link. Well, first of all, I want to thank the thousands of people that attended the Small Business Expo that took place last Thursday at the Pennsylvania Convention Center. And my thanks to the people who personally stopped by to let me know that they tuned into the broadcast and they were supporting all of our business and American workers' ideas. And we distributed several thousand of our American workers' flyers. And I also collected, hundreds and hundreds of cards from people who came to our table, asked to be put on our e-list. And we also promoted National Small Business Weekend, which, as you know, will be next weekend, the first Friday, Saturday, and Sunday of every month, which happens to be Easter weekend this year. After speaking with those people at the expo, I want to tell you, I can't imagine Mark, Rich, Larkin, and our guest, Patrice. I don't know how we would be in this country if efforts like ours didn't exist. You tune into regular radio programs and you hear all the other things that are happening in the world, but really nothing that's happening here in America to help our job situation, to get our people to work. Many of the people that stopped by the stand are going to be tuning in today. I'm emailing them. I'm placing them on our special e-list. I want to say that they were really pleased that we have such an effort, that it's an ongoing effort, just not a hit and miss type thing. And I want to take this opportunity to thank Mark Andel, Rich Logis, Larkin Connolly, and our engineer, Henry Chaplinsky, for helping me to be the leading pillars of this movement, which, you know, is going to continue to grow. Larkin, you're always important. Now, I want to say...
Did you just call me a pillar?
A pillar.
I've never been called a pillar before.
Well, you're a pillar of the community. You're a pillar of this radio program. And I have to say this, too. At that expo, there were so many people hunting down Larkin. He's so well known for his score efforts. I mean, when he had to go out or he went out to get a coffee or something, I mean, he was hunted down. They kept coming around to American Workers Radio or to the score table and said, "Where's Larkin? Where's Larkin?" So you are definitely a rock star, a pillar of our community.
Oh, yeah, I'm a rock star. All right. Where's my mother when I need her? Holy mackerel.
Well, today in studio, Rich and Mark, we have a special guest, and I'm going to ask Larkin that he introduce our guest, and let's all join in the conversation with Larkin.
Yeah, well, first of all, good morning, Mark. I suspect you're there. I didn't hear you.
Yes. How are you, Larkin?
I'm wonderful. Absolutely wonderful. Too bad you missed the Small Business Expo. And Rich?
Hey, Larkin.
Have you paved the border so I can get into the state of Florida on Saturday? I'm actually coming down there Sunday.
It's ready. Weather is expected to be great. We're ready for you, Larkin.
Oh, boy. Yeah, well.
I don't know if
post-bail.
Florida's ready for you, but you're ready.
Yeah, right. Right. Well, this morning I'm pleased to have a guest who I've been associated with, I think, for the last two or three years. She's a score client. And one of my personal favorite clients, because she pushes me around like a bad habit. And she's got probably one of the most unique concepts and passions for starting a small business. And before we get into that, I just wanted to, A, introduce Patrice Banks and welcome you to the program.
Thank you.
It's great to have you here.
Thank you.
And you are
glad to be here.
You are so much prettier than Logis, who was the last person sitting here. You're so much easier to look at. But before we
You're
talk
welcome.
About your passion, let's talk about a little bit about your background.
Okay.
We won't go back to high school. I don't know. Or maybe we will. You grew up in Philadelphia.
If it's relevant, if you want to know something that's interesting or relevant, I mean.
Cool. Did you grow up in Philly?
I did not. I grew up in a town called Phoenixville. It's right outside of Philly. No. And it was one of these little small steel towns, very blue collar, which has since changed. It's now like this really cool town.
Horse country. Yeah, it's horse country now, I think, isn't it?
No, it's like another Manioc. I mean, they love it down there. And, I was one of those people that's like, I'm leaving town and never coming back. I have big dreams, you know.
Right.
And now it's the place to live.
So you left high school and went to, I remember, Lehigh University?
Yes, for engineering.
And you're a graduate engineer.
Mm-hmm. 2002, Lehigh University, brown and white.
There you go, brown and white.
We're the Lehigh Engineers. Right. They changed it to Mountain Hawks probably, I guess, in the late 80s or the 90s because of the other schools, like the business school and the art school didn't like being our mascot being the engineer.
Engineers, but right.
I'll always be a Lehigh engineer.
So you graduated from Lehigh with an engineering degree and went to work for?
DuPont. Yes.
DuPont.
I worked for DuPont my entire career, actually. I interned with them when I was just a sophomore. I was a junior at Lehigh. And I signed up for like an internship program. Actually, it was an externship program. I just spent the day with like a female engineer. She actually was a minority, and she went to Lehigh for materials engineering. It was weird how that worked out. And I ended up, you know, getting a job with them for the summer and working for them up until last year when I quit my job and started my business.
I don't know if you remember. I surely do remember the day that you told me you were quitting your job.
Yes, I remember very well.
Patrice came to me with this marvelous idea that we'll talk about now to start a small business. And she and I probably worked for 2 years on the business plan and the concept and how to roll it out and, you know, priorities and what goes first and what goes second. And she came in one day and said, this is moving way too slow. I quit my job. And I went, you what? And she said, I quit my job. So let's talk
It wasn't about it moving slow. I'm the type of person is when an opportunity comes up, I like to take it. Whether I think I can do it or not, I like challenges. I like to push myself. And so an opportunity came up for me to leave my job and work in the automotive industry. And I thought, now's my chance.
Right.
Yeah.
Right. So let's talk about it. It's Girls Auto Clinic. Yes. Why don't you tell us what Girls Auto Clinic is?
So I love giving my elevator pitch because I was just told the other day people don't like giving elevator pitches because people don't like to hear them. But I love talking about what I do. So I'm an auto mechanic and I cater to women. And I created Girls Auto Clinic because I wanted to create a company, and I call it a female empowerment company because we empower women and we cater to women through their cars, through car buying services and repair services. So that's kind of what we do. It's right now, I'm working on teaching women and educating women about their cars. So I give free workshops every month in Philly where you bring your own car and you're going to learn like everything from just a lot of women don't even know how to pop their hood. And we teach them that, how to check their oil, what to know, what's underneath the car, what to touch, what not to touch. You know, how to know you need those parts changed, those types of things. And I also wrote a book. It's a glove box guide. Everything women need to know about cars, you keep it in your glove box. It's going to tell you things like dashboard lights. What do they mean? Do I panic when that check engine light comes on? You know, talk about your tires, how to take care of them, how to know when you need new tires. Tires are really expensive, and we don't maintain them very well. Everything you need to know about your car to make you feel more in control and confident when you're driving. So I'm getting ready to open my own shop. Now this is the next step, is opening a repair garage that caters to women. There will be female mechanics there, and there's also be a nail salon so you can get your nails done while you're waiting for your car. And so it's all encompassing with women. I wanted it to be a destination place where they feel good about coming. They're going to look forward to going. They're going to know they can trust the work that they're getting done, and also they're going to be able to multitask, because you know we will go out of our way to get our nails done, but to get an oil change or to get stuff done on our car, we'll wait till the last minute. And that's part of educating women on the importance of taking care of your car, is making sure that we give it, it's something they look forward to or enjoy doing.
So let's talk about some of the groups that you've addressed with your clinics, because okay. the clinics are fascinating.
Yes.
Your logo is the back end of a Ferrari mm-hmm. with these dynamic looking legs coming out from under the creeper that individual's on, and she has
red high heels on.
Yes. It's just absolutely classic.
So yeah, that, and it's funny how that came about, that logo. Actually, so I mentioned, I worked for DuPont, and I was an engineer, but also a manager. So I worked in the office. I had to wear professional, attire, and I was going to school at night for automotive technology. So I'm actually not I didn't grow up in cars. I didn't have a dad who was a mechanic. I get a lot of that. Oh, your dad must have been a mechanic. No, no, sir, he was not. I was an auto airhead. I was one of those women who was tired of being taken advantage of. I didn't know anything about my car, and I wanted to learn. And so I started researching, looking for a female mechanic, because I thought she'd be able to help me. It'd be someone I can trust. And I was not able to find one anywhere. I searched on Facebook. I Googled it. I researched it more, and I was just shocked at the lack of resources on a larger scale, really, to help women understand their car and feel good about their car. And that's kind of where I got the concept from. So I started going to school in the evening when I was working for DuPont for automotive technology, or to become a mechanic. And one day I forgot a change of clothes. I didn't have my boots and my work clothes. So I had to change a starter in this old truck, this GMC, in my work clothes, and I had on my heels, and someone snapped a picture. All you saw coming out was these legs and these heels, kind of like, the Wizard of Oz and Dorothy, and just the heels coming out from underneath the house. That's how it was. I posted on Facebook, and people just loved it. And that's what kind of gave me the inspiration for the logo, because it was something that people thought was unique and cool. And that's where the logo kind of came about. And I wear my red heels when I do any appearances. So I wear them during my workshops. When I give public speaking, I wear them. When I represent Girls Auto Clinic, I wear my red heels. I don't wear them. I know people ask me, do you work on cars in red heels and in your heels? No, for safety reasons, but we do a lot of setups where to share on social media, because it's fun. The girls like to see it, the guys like to see it, so we'll change a tire and heels and take a video and show people and stuff like that. And it's all about being a woman and still being able to get my hands dirty, be a mechanic, work next to the guys, but still be feminine and be who I am, is kind of where that kind of comes from.
Well, I know firsthand that you have the mechanical part mm-hmm. covered, and I've known for years that you have the female part of it covered too. I'm so sorry that we don't have a color picture that we're producing here, because Patrice is one beautiful woman.
Uh-oh. So, and your whole not this morning. I only get a couple hours of sleep. The entrepreneur life is real, y'all.
Yeah, it is. You don't get much sleep, do you?
No.
So, how many nights have you really sweated this thing out? I mean, let's talk about the whole startup process. Mm-hmm, mm-hmm. You and I have gone through it. Mm-hmm. I almost know what you're going to say to the word, but I think the audience needs to hear. So, you came up with this concept. Mm-hmm. You quit a very good paying job at DuPont. I keep on reminding her a very good paying job.
Very good paying job, benefits, everything. I was surprised at the support that I got from leaving DuPont. I did not find one person that was like, you're crazy. Everyone was like, this is amazing. And I think it's because they could just feel it was for me and it was my destiny. Just when I talk about it and the passion I have for it, people are like, this is you. You have to do this, And I was at work every single day thinking about Girls Auto Clinic, what I wanted to do. I wanted to go on the website. I wanted to talk to women. I wanted to write blogs. And I felt guilty being at work. And I remember saying that to you, and you were like, get over that. Stay at your job as long as you can. And I'm like, it's getting tough. I'm starting to feel like I'm not doing value-adding work. I really want to do Girls Auto Clinic. And the opportunity came up for me to work at a shop. I was getting $600 paid under the table a week, which was a huge, huge pay cut. But I had saved up a lot of money before I left. But I knew that I had to take that step if I wanted to open my own shop and take Girls Auto Clinic to the next level. It was just the next, step is leaving my job. It was kind of just figuring out when. And that's how I knew it was time to go. I had been going back and forth with it. And when I finally found someone that said, I want to give you a job, I was like, this is it, Patrice, take it. And I, 2 days later, I told my boss, and I gave him like a month's notice, and I was out. But everyone was really supportive, and which was great. It helps me. It helps drive me, the support that I get. It helps keep me motivated and know that I'm doing the right thing.
So motivation's such a huge part of it.
Yes, because, you know, it is a unique idea, and it's something that's never been done before, really. And just the feedback and the reactions I get, like when I just say I'm an auto mechanic that caters to women, I get the, oh, my gosh. You know, that's why I love giving my elevator pitch. It gets me excited. And then when I say there's going to be a nail salon there, you know, while you wait, I mean, girls are just floored. I can't wait. When do you open? It makes me feel good that I can be of value to people. That's really what drives me. You know, you talked about these late nights or, you know, fears and stuff. I definitely have had times when I first quit that I woke up in the middle of the night like, what the hell did I just do? What am I doing? I just quit my job. Like, yeah, I don't have benefits, you know, and It's crazy how when you become an entrepreneur and you're working for yourself, how you just change as a person and you make things work. You know, your mindset changes. You're really good at just taking things one at a day at a time instead of worrying about the future so much, because you know when something comes up, I can handle it. You know that you have the skills and, you know, the work ethic to be able to handle it and deal with it. So you don't worry about it anymore. You're just like, when that comes up, I'll handle it. My first year of being an entrepreneur, my first year and a half was very much, I want everything to be perfect. It has to be how I envisioned it. I mean, I'm a dreamer. I'm a visionary. I see how I want it to look, and then I make it happen. And if it starts not happening how I want it to look, I start flipping out, you know.
Amen. And you do. Yes, you do.
And I'm learning to let go of that stuff. That's probably the biggest part of my stress, is learning when to let go of, and just being happy with working hard, keeping my head down, know I'm doing the right thing, and that the right people are going to come into my life to make it happen.
So there have been some very interesting people, both in the media and just all over the country. Mm-hmm. I remember the trip you made to Las Vegas in the very early going, when I said, you have to go there.
Yes.
You have to take the night owl out there, and if you have to sleep in the alleyway, you need to go to the American car?
SEMA.
SEMA
is the largest car show, I think, in America, and it's in Vegas every year. And I didn't know what I was doing. I was still working for DuPont. I was still in school. And a friend of mine told me about this really big car show to go to. I had no idea what to expect. It was very, very, very overwhelming. Like, I think they said over 1 million people show up to this thing. It's crazy. It's huge. But they had a section or a program of SEMA called Gear Up Girl, and it's for women in the automotive industry. And just me going out there for that program was amazing. Even now, today, I'm still interacting with a lot of these women who work in the automotive industry. Either as mechanics or they own shops. A lot of them work in marketing companies who do marketing for automotive. And they're just big supporters too. You know, having colleagues in the industry that you want to be in, that believe in you and are supporters, is very important. So I'm a master networker. I love meeting people. I love talking to people about what I'm doing and staying connected. And that was definitely, that was good advice to go out there, because it's coming back. It may not come back to you right away, because when I first went out there, I'm like, this is overwhelming. There's too many people here. I don't know what I'm doing. Everyone's like, where's your shop? I'm like, I still work for DuPont. I just have this idea, you know, and now that they see, like 2 years later, Patrice is really doing this. Like, this isn't someone who just had an idea. This is someone who makes it happen.
Yep.
And so they're really excited for me as well.
So we spend an awful lot of time on this program talking about the access to capital and how tough it is on entrepreneurs to really fund their passion,
right,
their idea, their company, whatever. And so let's kind of switch gears and go into that side of the deal for you. We're feverishly, the two of us, working on finishing and kind of polishing up your business plan for some non-conventional as well as conventional investors. But you've gone the social media route. Tell us about that.
Yeah, so, you know, social media is a great thing. It's like, I love and I hate it. And a lot of my success has been because of social media. and just, like I said, I'm a networker, and connections with people are really important. So I constantly establish relationships with people that I continue to follow up on, and that, you know, always comes back to be a benefit to me. So I use social media a lot to connect with people, and I've been able to find employees for Girls Out, people that are moving to different states to come work with me because they believe in what I'm doing, and I found them through social media. I've been in, you know, on national national TV, and I've been on local television. I've been in Black Enterprise magazines. I'm getting ready to come out in Real Simple magazine, and these are all people that kind of find me through social media, through hashtags, through people sharing. And it helps that it's like a really unique concept. The logo grabs people. You see the red heels in the car. People want to learn more. And when they hear the story, they hear the concept, it's fascinating.
Right.
You know, so social media helps out a lot in that way. But it's also kind of limited. I'm learning how to find people outside of social media because I just started a crowdfunding campaign.
There we go.
Yeah, Indiegogo.com. Make history with Girls Auto Clinic is the tag. And it's took Larkin's been bugging me.
Can we say that one more time?
Yes. Make History with Girls Auto Clinic is the name of the crowdfunding campaign on Indiegogo.com. And I did not want to do a crowdfunding campaign. And it took me a while because in Larkin, a lot of people were trying to get me to do it. And for me, because I thought it was like begging people for money, like help me with my, you know, my idea. And it's important for me to always be adding value in the people's lives when you're asking them for something. So it was important that when I did this crowdfunding campaign that we offered perks for their donation that I thought were going to be really useful, that people would find a value for. And it was the only thing that was going to allow me to really feel good about doing it. And this has probably been the toughest thing I've done since I've started Girls Auto Clinic. It's taken me very far outside my comfort zone. And we launched last week. We wanted to do it in March because it's Women's History Month. And, you know, I really want to change history in the automotive industry for women as mechanics, as people who work in the automotive industry, but also as the customers and how we view the industry and how the industry markets to women. So I wanted to kind of pair it up with Women's History Month because I, you know, this is also kind of the first time something like this has been done in the United States. So it's up. Please go check it out. I've been using social media right now to kind of get the word out, but it's a little, it hasn't really taken off like I wanted to. And I think it's, you know.
It has been slow coming out of the box,
yeah.
But I think it's.
I need to get some more press.
Yeah.
That's why I'm here.
Yeah. Right.
So, you know, you need to get outside of your networks to get money, serious money. If we're looking for $50,000. We need a lot more than that, but I thought that was a good number that would be feasible to get. So we're just looking for help of reaching people outside of my network and outside of my, you know, people who are working with me on their campaigns, their social networks. So outside of Philadelphia, who can we get in front of that would have value for this, that would be inspired to share, inspired to donate, inspired by what I'm doing with Girls Auto Clinic? And anything, it's a great PR plan. I mean, it's bringing me a lot of awareness to what I'm doing. So when I do open the shop, people know it's here. And, hey, I'm coming to Houston, or I want to come to L.A. I just had a female mechanic call me. She's in L.A. She called me 10 o'clock this morning. So it's like, 7 o'clock out there? Actually, it was 9 a.m., so it's 6 out there. And she's like, I saw your crowdfunding campaign. I love what you're doing. I would love to work with you. Like, can we open one out here in L.A.? And I'm like, yes, I'm coming. I can't take this cold weather in Philly anymore.
So there's so much ammo here to mm-hmm. talk to Patrice about. But mm-hmm. One of the things I wanted to talk about was next month, mm-hmm. you're doing a TED Talk. And I think everybody
yes.
knows what a TED Talk is.
You know what? I can't tell you how many people don't know what TED, and I'm shocked.
Yeah, it's amazing.
I don't know if that's like a millennial thing, but when I went back to DuPont for a lunch and I was talking to a bunch of colleagues from DuPont, a lot of them didn't know what TED was. And I don't know if it's maybe because they're older, older engineers. I don't know.
Right.
But you're
going to do a TED Talk.
Yes.
Most famous business TED Talk is Simon Sinek. People buy what you do, not people buy why you do it, not what you do.
Mm-hmm. I just watched that yesterday.
Did you? Yeah,
mm-hmm.
It's a
very, I watch it several
very
times.
Inspiring. But the people are invited to TED to give a 5 to 15 minute speech that is recorded and put online, And you can just type into TEDx just about any subject and come up with somebody very intelligent on that subject that's going to, you know, that speaks to that right. subject. So.
Well, TED, I mean, their tag is ideas worth spreading. So they want speakers who have unique ideas that could really have a great contribution or impact on something positive. And TED is like technology, education, and design. So it's usually framed around those three platforms. And so you get a lot of good speeches of people that have ideas or just research that they've done that is fascinating and you want to learn more about and figure out, you know, how they're going to make their idea kind of come to a reality and how it's going to play out.
So what's the label on your TED Talk?
How I plan on disrupting the automotive industry in my red heels. And
that's
I've
great.
Been, and you know, it's crazy because TED is big. I didn't even think I was going to get this TED Talk. It's weird. When I submitted my app, they want like a 5-minute video, and I did it like the last hour. It was like 11:59. I submitted it right before midnight. And it's because it's such a big deal. I didn't think I was going to get selected. But, I mean, people really want to hear about this. And
well,
it's just confirmation, you know.
Yeah, it's one of the largest industries we have in this country. And Patrice is about to turn the dice cup upside down.
Listen, I'm just crazy enough to believe that I can actually do it, no, though. You know what
gonna,
I mean? Like, I really think that I can do this.
No, you're going to do it. There's very little doubt in my mind. Just in the last few minutes here, let's talk about the growth concepts.
Mm-hmm.
One of my favorite ones mm-hmm. is the line of jewelry.
Okay, yeah. So, you know, there's so much to do here with Girls Auto Clinic and really disrupting the automotive industry. I mean, we can to talk about that just a little bit. You know, part of the reason why there's this huge discrepancy. So women are the number one customer in the automotive industry. We spend $200 billion a year on buying and servicing our cars. We take our cars in more for repairs, like 65% of the customers for repairs are women, and we influence like 85% of the car buying decisions. So we buy more cars than men, and we also influence about 85% of the decisions as wives and stuff. And then on top of that is you have more female drivers in the United States. They have more driver's license than men across all age groups. So you just, that's kind of scary, right, when you think about it, with more women drivers on the road. But it's coming, guys, it's coming, you know. And so you have your number one customer, but yet the statistics just showing women, and I don't even have to show statistics. Everyone knows women feel like they're taken advantage of. We get taken advantage of. We don't, they charge us more. They tell us we need stuff we don't need. And the numbers are up to almost 80% of women are dissatisfied with their service and mechanics. So I couldn't believe there's this huge disconnect. And as I was researching it, I found that the root cause, and you see a lot of businesses that aren't trying to fix the root cause. I'm an engineer, so I know all about root cause. I did failure analysis. The root cause to this disconnect is there are not women working in the automotive industry.
Right.
You don't see women as technicians. Mm-hmm. You don't see women selling cars. You don't see women making cars. You know, we finally have the first CEO of one of the big three automakers at GM, Mary Barra, but just slowly that stuff is coming in, but not as quickly as it should be. So you have less than 2% of women are mechanics. Of course women feel like they're being taken advantage of by mechanics. You don't have, how is a man going to understand the why, right? We talked about why women buy. You know, women just automatically trust women as well. They want to buy from other women. So that's kind of the disconnect there. So how, you know, that's why I plan on disrupting it in many different ways, not just repair services, buying services. I have women come to me saying, can you come with me to buy a car? Because they just don't feel comfortable. And salesmen are very aggressive, and women don't
right.
like that.
Right.
And I have many stories of women being turned off by salesmen.
I feel a girls co-op coming on real
yes,
quick.
So I would love to sell cars, women selling cars to women. The education piece, which is the workshops, and my book. I'm getting ready to come out with a book, hopefully this year, for first-time drivers. My book is very reactive for women who have dealt with mechanics that take advantage of them. Okay, now how do you teach yourself to get out of this? I'd like to be more proactive with teenagers and first-time drivers to say, this is what you need to know about your car so you don't have to go through these things. You don't feel, you know, this sense of not having control. And so there's the education side of it. I would like to have a clothing line. So I kind of have made this brand with Girls Auto Clinic called Chicanic. And I wanted to create a community of car-savvy women, women who feel good about their cars, who buy the book, who come to a workshop, changing, you know, tires or checking their oil and feeling empowered about their car. So we came up with the name Chicanic, and it's kind of a play on she and mechanic, but also on she can empower herself. She can do things that men typically do, and not feel like she needs to call a guy or her father or her brother to help her. And so this Chicanic brand, I think we're gonna kind of come into like a clothing line for women, and it's all for the woman who's not afraid to get her hands dirty. You know, we can be pretty, we can be feminine, but we can also, you know, check our oil. And so I have that, and then also just accessories too for our car. Like, you go into AutoZone or Pep Boys and you see accessories for your car for women, and they're like pink or they have Hello Kitty on them. But I don't think there's a lot of good representation of women in terms of accessory for our cars. So, and I'd love to have a nonprofit too, bringing more women into this industry. I'm going to set up scholarships and internships for girls who want to get into automotive, or just any field in the automotive industry, and provide support and career development that they would need. Women don't stick in as mechanics. I found almost every single female mechanic has been discriminated against because of her sex. And it's a real issue, and they don't stay in it. They don't have the support they need. So I want to also provide that to women as well. So it's a lot. I mean, I have big ideas. I want Girls Auto Clinic to be a household name.
I want to ask Mark, who has been listening. Now, Mark, this is an unbelievable personality. Mark, how would you like to have Patrice come over to your area to open up a Girls Auto Clinic?
Oh, first, I love it. Patrice, Mark, you know, I started similar. I love that you had the guts to quit the job and just go with your dream. You know, living the American dream, is there's nothing like it, but you're alone a lot.
Yes.
You know, but, you know, we're the only people that work 100 hours, so we don't have to work 40 again.
I know.
And not get paid.
I know. Listen, I tell myself that every night. I'm like, what? It's 11 o'clock at night. I'm on the computer thinking, yeah,
but
dang.
You're going to be totally successful. I can just tell. You
Thank
have
you.
A passion.
I try to tell Patrice that you're alone even when you're not alone.
Yeah.
Oh.
Yeah.
So, it's like a mother nurturing its child, I always said. I try to explain to people when they start their business, you know, right away you put the name up, you're a millionaire, but you're not.
Yeah.
There's so much, but you've got so many different avenues. You sound like me when, you know, you get excited with passion, and but you gotta, you know, you already did it. You've got it in motion, and you believe. You know, you said that word before. You know, believing is everything.
Yep.
Getting the people behind you. You've got that's a great. My daughter's 12, and she's my boss. That's why this hits me. I got four children, but she's my boss at 12. But seventh grade, she just took her tech class, and we talk about there's a lack of skilled workers, you know, or shop classes in school, you know, without metal shops and even auto mechanics, whatever. They just don't have them no more. But she took her tech class, and the second day she got 100 on this first questionnaire. And I said, "How'd you do that?" She said, "I knew what a screwdriver was, Dad. I knew what a, you know." She just asked me the other day, now the, you know, the X one. I said, "That's Phillips, you know, Jess." But, you know, I taught her how to solder and different things already. But she's great, not only beautiful, but just likes to learn. Mm-hmm. So she would love this. I'm going to tell her about this tonight.
You know, it's so important to have women that, you know, feel good about that they can do those types of stuff and feel confident, because I noticed that it's not that we can't do these things, it's so we don't have the confidence. We just think, no, it's not something that I can do, you know. And so you just think that women aren't as good as math, we're not as good as fixing cars, and really we're just, it's our confidence level. So I'm glad that she's able to do that and feel good about it and get a 100.
Yeah,
it makes me happy.
More, women got more patience and hand dexterity, like in my, I have a welding business, and you know, there's stick welding, MIG welding, but then TIG welding, tungsten arc welding.
Mm-hmm.
You've got to have hand dexterity because you got your both hands going, your foot going, and,
right.
And women, you know, have more patience.
Yeah, you know, it's interesting because I was an engineer, I was a materials engineer, so I know a lot about welding, and worked with a lot of welders, and I never saw a female welder, and the male welders would say women are better at welding, and you just don't see it, even though we tend to be better at these types of trades.
Yeah.
Daughter Jessie, I'll tell her, a woman put an application, you better hire her, Dad.
Yeah.
You know, but it's true. But I love what you're doing, and you
Thank
know, they
you.
Should know how to, you know, check your air pressure and I did have a father that taught me a lot, and I try to pass it on to Jess, and
good.
I mean, it's just awesome stuff. But the area you're getting into, the industry is huge. It's needed. Like you said, the women, I tell people, women around the world, you know, I mean, make all the decisions for all those guys, right?
Mm-hmm.
But it's just awesome to hear your energy and
Thank
passion.
You.
It's refreshing
Thank you.
To me.
Thank you, Michael.
So, you know, I've been asked a ton. Patrice, you know, I love you. I mean, it's this is this trip with Girls Auto Clinic has been more than just an odyssey. I have friends and relatives and people from the outside world go, why do you do what you do at SCORE? And I go, da-da. Right. All you got to do is look at this kind of passion and this kind of, you know, get the job done attitude. It's thoroughly, it's contagious is what it is.
And it's so rare.
Yes, yes.
You know what I heard? That's just refreshing, Patrice, to hear that, you know, your energy. That's what, it's great.
Yep.
Thank you. You know, and that's what I talk about, like just the reactions that I get. This energy I get from a feed off of other people because they're just so excited for me, you know, and this idea that it makes me want to just keep moving forward. And it validates that this is the right thing for me. And, you know, I talk all the time, like, I can't believe there's nothing out there like this. This is wide open. Like, this is a lane by myself.
Right.
And I was just thinking the other day, well, maybe this is meant for me. This was my destiny to do this. I'm the one that's supposed to make this change. You know?
Boy, did you ever reach out to Jay Leno or anybody, you know, to get... It just seems like with this
I reached out to Rachel Ray.
Oh, yeah, yeah.
Because I thought that'd be something she would like, you know, Rachel Ray or Oprah, but I haven't thought of any of the late night show guys. I will be. Give me a year. We'll see.
And she's a great spokesman on top of all of that.
Oh, she's unbelievable.
Great,
Patrice,
great.
You are unbelievable. I want you to be introduced to another member of our panel,
okay.
Rich Loges, who is also an entrepreneur. And boy, I'll tell you, when hopefully on the 29th, when Mark comes to Philadelphia, hopefully he'll be able to get here on that day. Maybe you'll be able to be here with us too,
okay.
Patrice.
The 29th.
That's April 29th.
Okay, I'll put it on my calendar.
Rich, what is happening? What did you think of our special guest today?
Yeah, I'm good morning, and Patrice, thank you so much for being on. I want to encourage our listeners to visit your site.
Mm-hmm.
girlsautoclinic.com.
Yes.
I see you've got your story on there. I was looking at your site with my wife last night, and I said something to my wife where I'm going to kind of out myself here with my lack of handiness. When you have on your site here, you've got a part of your story about being a former auto airhead.
Yes.
I think that's how you put it. I got to tell you, a lot of guys are too.
I know.
I leased my car for this reason. I mean, I would go, it's abundantly clear and it's obvious that aside from your personality that you really know your craft. And I got to tell you, women who are going to be working in this industry, I think that they're going to be kicking some ass with the guys who come in who don't know what they're doing.
Right.
And I tell you, that's me. I'm going to say it right, full transparency here and disclosure. I'm going to come to you and say, what does this mean? I mean, I could pump my own gas.
Yeah.
Okay, I can do that. But I have to say, I'm listening to you here talking about this, and I hear you about your business. I hear you're talking about a lot of the same characteristics that occur when you start a business. Excitement, a little bit of fear. Not sure what's going to happen. Some days it feels like the boat's going to tip over, and you just keep your head up. And that is the thing, working through that, Patrice, that's the thing that's going to make this business successful.
And
it really is about who it is that you are. And I got to tell you, you're in good hands at Lark.
Well, I'm not so sure
you
about
are.
That. But I will
you're
tell
in
you.
Good hands there.
I will tell you this. When I meet people for the first time and they sit down and explain to me what it is they want to do, I pretty much can clear them after the first meeting. And the first thing that I look for, Patrice has an abundance of, and that's passion. I mean, she absolutely believes in what she's doing. And It is that passion when you're alone in a crowd of 100 people, but you're still very much alone.
Mm-hmm.
It's the passion that provides that energy to keep on going. And if you don't have that passion, no amount of money or anything else is really going to drive it. There's got to be somebody
right.
at the helm.
Well, it's because, you know, when you're up at, 2 in the morning sending emails, writing letters, that's the only thing that drives you is I'm like, I can't quit now. I've come so far. Like, what? I can't quit. I have to keep moving. It's my passion. That's why I say it's important to have that, because if you don't have that there, you're not going to be up at 2 in the morning sending emails. You're going to be sleeping.
Yeah, two words, never quit. But stay hungry.
Yes.
I tell everybody it starts to stay hungry.
Oh, yes.
That hunger, and you have it. Just keep it.
Thank you. And I have a funny story, too, when you talk about men don't know this stuff. And I like to tell this story to women because we're very ashamed that we don't know about our cars, to be honest. I have women come to the workshops that are ashamed to tell me the stuff that they do. I'm like, listen, I've been there. I'm an auto airhead. I've done everything that you've done. But the other day, I was coming out of the gym, and two guys were trying to jump start a car, and they were doing it wrong. And I did not, I don't know, it's something about the male ego. I did not want to bruise it because it's so easily bruised. But I was going to go up and give them like a business card or maybe one of my books. But I didn't say anything, and I just have a funny story to tell now. And it helps women a little bit. So listen, guys don't know this. And one of my workshop attendees sent me a message the other day saying her car needed a jump. And she flagged the guy down, and he didn't know what to do. And she's like, let me show you. I got this. So she knew, and it made her feel really good. Stuff like that. It's great. I love it.
What an initiative. Well, Patrice, thank you very much for Patricia. Imagine. Thanks for coming in. Thanks for being our guest.
Thanks for having me.
It's such a phenomenal story.
Thank you.
One more time, Indiegogo.
Yes, it's the Indiegogo.com, which is a crowdfunding campaign site. If you go to Indiegogo and type in Girls Auto Clinic or make history with Girls Auto Clinic, you'll find my crowdfunding campaign. And we have a lot of great perks. I mentioned the perks again. They're useful. You can relatable, easy to use, and something that you is going to be really valuable.
Patrice, I'm going to take a few minutes to acknowledge some of our sponsors, but I'm going to ask you a few questions when you come back, and I'm going to ask Mark Larkin and also Rich to ask a question, because what you've done is you've put on the table how enthusiastic you are. Do you think this is something that could be contagious, and are our young people in the colleges and the high schools and the junior high schools getting motivated as you motivated yourself? The next portion of our broadcast is going to be presented today by Leon Mankowski, attorney at law, by Serena's Auto Body Shop, and by the Net Cost Market, and by the PRCUA, as well as Michael Steinman, attorney at law, and Dr. Eva Machak, a very well-known Philadelphia dentist. And best wishes also from Dominic Rostotsky, attorney at law, and from Polka Deli, located at 2719 East Allegheny Avenue, as well as from the Polish American Travel Service and Giorgio Foods, as well as Mr. Martin Bednarek, president of the Washington Savings Bank, and also from Yolanda Konopatska de Scipio, and from Karen Janad of State Farm Insurance, and Dr. Wojciech Zinn of Everest Dental, as well as Mr. Frank Spula, national president of the Polish National Alliance. Best wishes as well from all of our friends and supporters at the Polish and Slavic Federal Credit Union. You can check them out by going to psfcu.com. And also best wishes as well from everyone from the Sugar House Casino, located at 1001 North Delaware Avenue in Philadelphia. I want to thank all of our sponsors who are with us 7 days a week here on 860 AM. And I also ask that you go out of your way. We have the Easter holiday coming up, and next weekend is National Small Business Weekend. Go out of your way to make sure that you support your local businesses, because we are making many positive things happen. And you know, Patrice, I think that you could be a motivational speaker at some of these events, like the Small Business Expo.
Well,
let me tell you something.
You think?
Oh, no. I mean, you'd be the top, I'm going to say. I hope you can be here on the 29th of April.
I put it on my calendar already.
Mark, I hope that you put that on your calendar, and that can all come about so we can make this wheel continue to turn. As we go back to our broadcast today, I want to thank Larkin Connolly, Rich Logis, and Mark Andel for being with us, and thank Henry Chaplinsky as well, our engineer, for making our show a great success. I'm going to ask all of you to check out the front page of our internet site, which we will try to link Patrice up there and her auto clinic. And spread the word to family and friends. Let them look at those links. They're very interesting. As I mentioned, the Small Business Expo was a great success. We had an enormous amount of new people come up to us. Many people came over as a result of hearing about it during our broadcast. So we have a lot of good things happening, and we'll be talking more about that during next week's program. But first, Patrice, I'm going to return to you, and I'm going to ask you, when you were in junior high and high school, how many of the counselors were motivating the young people to think as you think?
You know, our counselors were good. It's kind of a two-way street, though, you know. So I always got help from adults when I was a teenager. And I used to go to my counselors all the time and say, I need help with this. I want to go to college. You know, I said, I'm a dreamer. So I started having a dream and a vision in my head, and then I need to make it happen. So I start going to people who I think can help me and asking them, how do I get this? How do I do this? So I was always, all the counselors, I had a specific guidance counselor because of my last name, Mr. Rodenball. I still remember his name. But Mrs. Ischler, and then Cindy, I can't remember her last name, but I remember her first name was Cindy. She was the head of the guidance counselors, and I was always talking to them about what I wanted to do with my life. So
now, do you think enough of the students were doing what you were doing?
No, I don't think so at all. I don't think in general, I haven't been in schools in a while, but from what I hear from students, counselors aren't as engaged as they should be with students. And I know that it's a two-way street, but just even from questions and mistakes that students and families make with college and entering college and paying for college, that I think they need to have really trained counselors in schools to help kids with their futures and the questions they may have to lead them down the right careers. And I don't think... in general, I don't think it's something that's done really well.
Patrice,
and I think they know that, and they're looking for help.
I ask you that question because we are trying to promote the idea of restoring the trades and vocational arts in the schools.
Yes.
25 years ago, any school in the city, you'd have your pick of which school you could go to. A lot of that has been downsized, or it's the way it was 25 years ago. It hasn't really modernized because many people thought we were just going to be an importing country and we would be a service economy, and we found that's not the way it's going to be. So, Mark, what would you like to advise on that?
Yeah, you know, the schools, we always talk about it. Patrice, like you said, it's a two-way street, and I just want more kids exposed to even what you're talking about, working on your cars or if it's skilled trades or working with your hands in general, that you can gain confidence. And that's where I think they get it, hopefully from a school, they get some exposure. If they didn't have a father or you know, anybody to teach them certain things, or mother. But, you know, we just need to really raise awareness, get our schools to accept that this is out there. Like you said, you're looking at yourself. This is the largest industry, the automotive industry, and, boy, it's sky's the limit for you.
Right.
And you could be quite an example of opening up, you know, for the women's side. And they all need to know. And but, you know, getting the importance out there, the importance, why you should know, why does it matter, how much money you can save.
Right. I think, too, with the schools is it also important that they bring in the local businesses and the small business owners to talk to these students, to give these students jobs, to give them mentorship. And that's something that I do. There's a school in Philly called the Workshop School. Are you familiar with it, Michael?
I've heard of it, yes.
Yes, and they teach by hands-on automotive, auto body, engineering, electrical, music, production. And I went there to visit because a girl saw my website and that works on cars, and she's like, I'd love for you to meet you. Can you come to our school? I'm now on their advisory board because they're really trying to teach kids through working with their hands and get back into this you know, trade, get kids learning trades and showing the value in it, and that you can have a good career and you can make good money being in a trade. There's been kind of like this stigma around blue and white collar, and I don't understand it. I really, really don't. And so it's important too, as small business owners, that we also take a role in this and not just leave it up to the schools and play a part in mentoring and helping out with bringing people in.
Well, you know, and most politicians hang their hat on, even you can go to college. And I think we all know that not everybody needs to go to college.
Right.
You see, Patrice, one of the biggest things that even at the Small Business Expo last week, many of the people said, I'm now in a financial industry or whatever, but if I had known that things would go this way, I would have gone into another industry. I would have learned something and, you know, opened up HVAC and did the new houses and all this and that. But here I am in the financial industry, and I don't have another trade, which is pretty hard to hear from people.
You know, it is, but it's never too late. I was 32 years old, and I went back to do automotive technology at a community college. I went to Delaware Technical Community College. I was the oldest person, the only woman. I was with a bunch of 18-year-old kids, but I loved it. Kind of bossing them around. I you know, because I'm a little bit older, so I didn't come in kind of shy. I didn't know anything. I didn't even know how to use tools. And here I'm working with 18-year-olds that have probably been working on cars for their whole lives. But I came in with my engineering degree and a little bit of my attitude and was like, I'm here to learn. And if you're not here to help me, you're in my way, kind of a thing. So it's and it took me two years. You know, it's they offer a lot of programs for trades for, you know, adults now in the evening. So it's still never too late to do something like that. You don't have to pay as much money as you do for a four-year degree. I kind of think if I had this idea several years ago, I'd probably be a millionaire by now. But and I went to Lehigh and paid $40,000 a year to be an engineer. But you know what? I learned a lot about Lehigh. It's really or DuPont. I've learned a lot. It's shaped me as an engineer and as a an entrepreneur, and it gives me a competitive advantage, I think, as an entrepreneur.
Patrice, I have a question for mm-hmm. you. If you were in your junior high school and mm-hmm. your, or your high school mm-hmm. and you saw various trade shops available to you mm-hmm. and you decided, well, I'll try this for 6 months or I'll go mm-hmm. here for the next year, mm-hmm. do you think that would be beneficial to the younger people?
Definitely. I mean, they don't know what's kind of out there, you know, and in high school, everyone thinks, okay, I need to go to college. And even when they go to college, they don't know what they want to do. And trade schools give you the opportunity to really try stuff. And if you don't like it, you can move on. I mean, and that's kind of how we really figure out what we want to do. I never really wanted to be an engineer. I enjoyed math and science. So I was told, go be an engineer. And I was able to do that and have a successful career, but I wasn't really happy. It wasn't my passion. My passion is really helping and empowering women. And I do like working with my hands. I don't like working in front of a computer all day. Or in a lab. So, you know, I think it is important to get people out there to try stuff, because when you don't want to be trying it is when you're older, you have kids, you know, you have responsibilities, you have bills. It's harder to start figuring out what you want to do, you know. And I've just been lucky to kind of come along this concept and develop it and have been able to. You know, I don't have any children, so that helps, because I know people with have kids, it's a little bit more difficult, especially leaving your job when it comes to having benefits and a steady paycheck. I mean, that can be a very difficult decision. So I think it is important to do this stuff kind of when they're young, and we focus so much on sending kids to college, and I think that's about the bust, though. I think we're coming to a bust.
Rich, I think you have a comment to make about
that.
Yeah,
absolutely. You know, Patrice, and I did take a look at your background mm-hmm. On your LinkedIn profile before coming on.
Wow, you guys did your research. I'm so happy.
Yeah, well, we, you know, thanks to Larkin and letting us know in advance you were going to be here. I really like to get to know before you come on, and I see such a diverse background, and in listening to a lot of what you're saying, whether it's DuPont or whether it's Girls Auto Clinic, what I hear, and I know it's sincere, are a lot of the traits that we commonly recognize with people who particularly are business leaders. You know, you're talking about empowering women. You're not seeking to be a leader to create followers. You're seeking to be a leader to create other leaders. That's ultimately what we, I think, are starved for.
Right.
With our politics and our overall business climate. It's not to say we lack leaders entirely, but I think as a small business owner, you can connect and get through to people in a particular way that lots of business people at really, really big, huge companies maybe are not so effective at doing. And that's what I'm hearing from you. And this is just another trait and characteristic that is going to help you craft an identity behind your company that you can really stand proudly and confidently behind. And that's one of the things that's going to propel you and create no doubt that right. you're in this because this is really what you're passionate about.
Yes. Thank you. Thank you for that comment. I appreciate it. And it's to me, I'm a people person. It's about the people, you know, and it's important that you're adding value to people's lives. And that's how you stay relevant, you know, is that you're adding value to people's lives.
Yeah, with the enormous population that we have in America, we should have a lot more people working. In fact, we lost some jobs over the last few years. And I, as I look at the statistics, many of those jobs are service-oriented jobs. Mm-hmm. But the manufacturing portion continues to rise. Mm-hmm. And that's where people like Mark Andel and all the other people in the industries have been making a difference, talking to people, common sense. These things are good. We need this in America. Mm-hmm. We need to change the thinking. Mm-hmm. Going to college, graduating college, and not having a place to go mm-hmm. when you graduate is a mm-hmm. waste of money. Mm-hmm. That person's paying for years and years on something that you know, is not going to take mm-hmm. them very far.
Right. And I'd also advise anyone who's listening that doesn't want to go to a four-year college, but is considering a trade school, is to really look into community college. They have a lot of these institutes and technical colleges. But I'm a big fan of community college. I'm a big supporter, and they're very inexpensive, and they have great programs, especially for automotive technology. And you also get a degree. You know, you come out with a degree, even though you're doing a trade, which gives you somewhat of a competitive advantage if you're going to a UTI. UTI is, you know, considered one of the best schools for automotive, but it's really expensive. And I can get the same education at a community college and also get a degree. So I'm coming out with a little bit more clout than someone who just has automotive. You know, you've taken communications, you've taken math, you've taken English classes. So,
Patrice, you're absolutely right with the community college. I have twin boys, and Jake is just finishing his second year at ECC, Erie Community College, our mm-hmm. community. And it's awesome for the value, and it's a great starter mm-hmm. school. You can end there, or you could go on. And I think it's just a great way to try things and get a feel without, you know, creating debt for your life.
Right.
It might be $100,000. But like you said before, too, try things. And that's what I think we lost when we took the wood shops, metal shops, power mechanics, electronics out of schools. But mm-hmm. you got to let these kids try things. I also tied with my local school, created a 54-hour program that they get a half credit for. But most of the kids come through at 12th grade, and it's too late. And they say, mm-hmm. hey, that's pretty cool. Hey, I'd like to try that. That's mm-hmm. what are you going to do? Well, my dad wants me to be a lawyer.
Yep.
Oh, okay. You know, but I'm seeing, like, wow, sparks. But it should have been maybe if 6th, 7th, 8th grade if they've seen that spark. And somebody said, hey, it's okay to go with that.
Yeah, you know? Parents, stop pressuring your kids. Yeah, to be lawyers right. and doctors and engineers.
Right.
Let them do what they want to do.
Yep.
So this has been just like every other counseling session or meeting that I've ever been with Patrice. I told her I had 20 minutes to talk, and we ended up talking 60 minutes.
I can talk, man.
Because, well, not only that, but I mean, it's easy to talk when you understand your field. It's easy to talk when you have the passion that you have. Mm-hmm. Once again, thank you very much for coming
in. Ladies and gentlemen, as we come near the end of our broadcast, I'm going to ask all of you to check out the rebroadcast and make sure your family and friends would get that copy of the rebroadcast from the front page of our link. And all of the people that receive our emails, make sure you email our link today, because I thought Patrice Banks was very, very impressive.
Of course she was.
Thank you, Larkin Connolly, for bringing such a beautiful young girl over here.
One more time, Indiegogo.
Indiegogo, make history with Girls Auto Clinic. Or go to my website, girlsautoclinic.com.
Thank you for being here, Patrice.
Thank you for having me.
Thanks a lot.
Have a great day. Good luck.
Have a great one, everyone. I'll see you Saturday at 11.